Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, here we go. It's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Get in!
Mo, sorry boys, yeah. Mo Salah, you fucking dancer. Get the fuck in there, Reds. Liverpool 4, United 2. It got very, very squeaky bum down towards the end there, but Salah sorted it. I'm joined by Joe Peterson and Tim Farver for a little chat about that game. Jay, what are your initial thoughts on that very, very fucking crucial 3 points there?
Relief. I thought we'd had it wrapped up. But then when we started missing chances, I was like, oh, fucking hell, here we go again. Typical Liverpool, here we go. Start missing chances and it comes back to bite us in the arse. But we hung on in. You know, when you look back and you're hanging in on results like that, it's really, really good. The tension was there for the last 70 hours of that football match because that's how long it fucking felt. But at the end of the day, we got the 3 points that none of us thought we'd get. I wasn't thinking that we were going to get 3 points this morning. I was just like, yeah, it's going to be a draw. Done. Whatever. Here we go. But fuck me, what a game of footy that was to get the 3 points. But yeah, please, it's still in our hands. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and Tim, me and you were on the team news show and we were both like, yeah, score, draw. it was everything, but like from the first fucking what, they scored in 10 minutes, like an OG, Nat Phillips, and you're just like, fucking hell. Could it go any worse as a starting platform? But we got back in it. One before half time with Hotter with a little flick, and then the goal from Firmino just before half time just set us up perfectly, didn't it, for the second half?
Yeah, I mean, two absolutely crucial goals just when you thought, you know, when an own goal, you know, goes in like that, and I don't know how they're giving that to Fernandes, but
yeah, and that as well. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, you know, and you think, oh my god, we're just gonna get fucking battered today, aren't we? Like, it's gonna be one of those games we're just gonna have to, you know, turn the telly off at half time, or probably 3-0. So yeah, it looked like, may I, dare I say it, the return of the mentality monsters. It looked like a bit of a return of that. It looked like we discovered how to play football again for a good kind of 60 minutes there. What a turnaround, you know, just when you drop your heads as fans because of the way the season's gone, and every time we seemingly have conceded, everyone drops their heads and we kind of like go, oh, well, that's the game, you know, which is obviously completely different to how it was last year. And, you know, just a reaction like that, and all of a sudden, you know, just absolutely all over them.
Yeah, and Jay, I wanna get your initial thoughts on the penno that was given and then wasn't given. What are your initial thoughts on that?
Oh, do you know what, mate? It's just the fucking typical bollocks. I mean, I didn't think it was a penalty when it first happened. I thought it was a clattering. I don't think you're going to give it in those circumstances. If anything, you know, it's 6-1 half a dozen the other, not the tackle. I mean, like, people's opinions on it. A lot of people would say it was a pen. A lot of people say it wasn't. But when I first saw it in real time, I was like, okay, yeah, it's a pen. But then afterwards, you're sort of thinking, does he win the ball and all that? But I more want to focus on the fact that we went a goal down. The fact that we went a goal down is just, it reminds me of the time we went a goal down with the Sane of match at Old Trafford, and the mentality that we had to come back from that. And that's what I think is really important today. Forgetting about VAR decisions and all that sort of stuff is the fact that Liverpool went a goal down in a game where we needed to win. Heads could have gone down and it didn't go down, and we fucking came back from that game of footy. That 1-0 down, and we ended up winning the fucking game. Albeit there was a lot of tension towards the end, but that's what I loved about it, is the fact that when we were 1-0 down, I just thought, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go again. But even the response from the goal before we scored was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Jiggs just summed it up there. Like, fantastic response to going a goal down. And fucking hell, I feel like I've gone the match in my throat. What the fuck's going on with that? To be honest, with the penalty, like, it's in real time for me, it's a pen. But, like, today's footy.
You can see it, can't you? You can see why it's not been given.
It's one of them, and it, like, if it was like 10 years ago, you're like, yeah, definitely not a penalty. But, like, in today's footy, I don't see how he's overturned. Obviously, he's looked at it in slow-mo and whatever, but I still think he's won the ball, but I still think he's took Nat Phillips out, and it should be
It's the follow-through, isn't it? It's the follow-through.
Yeah. Well, I would...
I'm just going to finish on that. I think I just didn't expect it. You know what I mean? With VAR decisions that have gone this season, some of them you watch and you go, right, based on what's happened previously, like you just said, Mick, I expect that to be a penalty. When that first happened, I immediately went, penalty. And then I was thinking about it, thinking, I'm not confident. And then when he fucking ran over to the screen, I was like, yeah, it's not being given. Sorry, Tim.
Well, the one thing I was going to say, and the one thing why I think it was a penalty, because for me, he gets the ball, and if he follows through and catches Nat Phillips' foot and then clatters into him, then it's fine. But for me, because Baye's leg was halfway up his shin, that's for me, because his foot was high, that's the reason I would have given a penalty. No, for no other reason, because he makes contact with his shin after he clears the ball, so his studs were showing. That outside of that, for me, it's not a pen. As soon as it went to review, I thought they're not giving it. There's no way they're giving it. Not against Man United. Not at Old Trafford. You're talking about things that have happened in the past. Yeah, and for the majority of football teams, that would have gone against the Man United, Old Trafford. You're not fucking getting that. I'm sorry. So,
can we talk about your own goal?
Let's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an own goal. It's not a fucking Fernandez goal, lad, is it? But he gets an assist for the first goal, and then the ball by Trent for the second goal. By the way, for that header for Bobby.
Whoa! Are we just gonna skip over Jota's fucking sexy fucking finish?
Yeah, it's a great finish, but I'm just that ball by Trent. Oh, just like, it's basically like, there you go, score a goal. I've that on me. But at first, I thought it was Reece Williams. You know, I was like, is Reece Williams just score the goal? But it was Bobby. And then Bobby gets a second after like 2 minutes of the second half. And then we text the Mako and Bobby Hattrick's on for the first time in 73 years. Doesn't happen, unfortunately. But it's when Rashford gets that to make it 3-2 with what, 20 odd minutes left, we're all fucking shitting our pants, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because we all thought that it was the Liverpool that we've seen over the last few months, it's right, they're getting closer. And the third was, you know, it is inevitable, as you like. And we're all on Twitter going, see what other opinions were going, just because that's what we're used to, aren't we? But it was really, really great to see the fact that shit just didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? It was just great to see. And it was great to see that we put up a good defensive fight. Nat Phillips was fucking phenomenal again. Apart from, obviously, the own goal. I thought he was brilliant. I thought in terms of he was just smashing every header out of everyone. There was a time when the ball, when the camera came over and a ball was coming back. I think it was from Wan-Bissaka. It was coming across. And Reece Williams had sort of let it bounce. Just on the edge of our half. And then just Nat Phillips came out of nowhere and just smashed it with his head. The ball fucking went another 50 yards that way. And I was just like, that's what we want to see from big Nat Phillips. So yeah, I just thought it was, the whole thing about it was brilliant. But like you said, that last 20 minutes was fucking horrendous. It was one of the longest 20 minutes we've had all season. And then, you know, I think I always felt we were going to get them on the counter-attack, at least for a chance. And I always felt that was going to happen, and it did. And Mo, being Mo, just fucking does what he does best in terms of putting the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, some people don't put him in team in the season, but that's another fucking podcast.
That's another podcast altogether. Fucking hell. Sorry, boys. My throat is completely... I don't know if it was the open... I don't know how Robbo does it on the wrap every week, but my throat's just gone with that opening. Get in.
Because you've been sucking Thiago off again.
To be fair, during that game, fucking hell, he was special.
Yeah, I tell you what, let's go. I tell you what, while we're talking about it, should we go to Thiago Cam? While we're right, go. Thiago Cam is live.
Thiago, yeah, boss, passing for fun, into the spaces, nice and easy. getting his foot onto every ball that was near him. He was in there like a shot, and he was boss today as well. But yeah, Mo gets that goal, and then you kind of like, yeah, game sorted. And I was thinking like, who would be man of the match be? And I think it was, for me, I think it was Trent. I think like Gary Neville and Carragher spoke about it, like that ball into the box of the second one, and he was cutting everything out, but the balls into, like, I think before they scored the first one, there was a great chance for Firmino where he played it through, and Firmino just fucking kind of tried to pass it back, and then we were claiming for a pen, and it was like, it was never a pen. But it's just those incisive balls into the final third. He was just, I think he was boss today. He was our best player today, I think.
Yeah, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I would second that, to be honest with you. I think that he was the difference in the game. I think that the majority of our attacking kind of, you know, play came through him. It was balls over the top. It was, you know, I think he played just about every single ball you could imagine forward, swinging a perfect cross for the second goal. You know, he was just sublime. And the thing that put it all together with me and
Thiago Cam back on.
Go on, Tim, sorry.
That's right. Well, the thing for me was that Martin Tyler called them out after the first kind of 15 minutes, saying that they were getting in down that side, and I don't think they did once. I did, honestly. I thought he was fantastic defensively against Rashford today. I know Rashford scored, but it was coming in. Both their goals came through the middle, didn't it? Really, and down Robertson's side. I thought Trent was superb at the back today. He was, you know, really, really tough in the challenge. He kept everyone in front of him. He didn't really get blown by. So, you know, and then he was picking the ball up and spreading the ball and setting us off on counter attack. So for me, it was, you know, everyone played superbly tonight, but Trent was a stand up.
Yeah, I think that's kind of resounding, isn't it? Like you said, Jay, I think Nat Phillips was also another apart. I've never known someone to score an OG, but also be a contender for man of the match. But he was like, he was heading fucking. It wouldn't surprise me if he went outside and just started heading fucking lamppost and that, like, after that game. Like, yeah, just practicing for next game. He needs to be in and around the squad next year, doesn't he? Like, because he's earned it, hasn't he? After he stepped up to the plate this year.
Yeah, 100%, mate. You look at the beginning of the season, there's no way you'd think he'd be anywhere near this squad in terms of playing as regular as he has been. So it's a pinch me now season for him, and fair play to him in terms of his journey and stuff like that, the lad. So I would definitely keep him on. I wouldn't be selling him. I wouldn't be loaning him out everywhere. I'd definitely be keeping him in around the squad because he also gives you that reassurance now. So fast forward to next season when we are playing in the League Cup and we will be playing sort of a weakened side. You put Phillips in there. He's got all this wealth of experience now playing so many games in the Premier League and big games in the Champions League. That will relax us a little bit. So if we haven't played this season and he plays next season in the League Cup, people are like, ooh, or in the FA Cup, like, ooh. Or if we're desperate for centre-half in the, you know, heaven forbid we're not. But that's that relaxation now that he's got because he's got that experience. And if Nat Phillips plays a game next season with Virgil van Dijk, like, okay, yeah, I'm good with that. So yeah, he definitely stays for me. He's earned his stripes and he's earned that opportunity to stay in Jurgen Klopp's side.
Yeah, and Tim, would you agree that yourself deserve to stick around and stay at the club?
I'd say so. I don't think Peter Crouch could win a header with Van Dijk and Nat Phillips on the pitch, to be honest with you, mate. So,
true.
He's just one of those guys that's, you know, he's not technically gifted like a Van Dijk or anything of that sort. He's not the fastest guy on the pitch, but he looks technically gifted. He looks a lot quicker than he actually is because he's giving 110% every time he steps onto a blade of grass, every single time. And that is, like you say, it's someone that you need to have around. It's what Jordan Henderson is in the midfield. Again, he's not as technically gifted as Thiago, but he's going to be the first name on the team sheet every game because he's going to give 110%. He's going to bust the gut every time you need him. He's going to be winning the tackles you need him to, winning the headers, playing the right balls. And that's, to be honest, I mean, we're talking, obviously, with someone coming up about the window and where we need to spend. And for me, Nat Phillips potentially saves us some money this summer because he is of that quality where even if he's the second, third or fourth string centre back. He is he's of enough quality now where you wouldn't be worried about him stepping into a side, especially alongside Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah,
I think a Virgil van Dijk makes a Nath Phillips look like a fucking Nesta or Costa Curta. Honestly, I think he would be.
Oh, Bolton Baresi.
Bolton Baresi, yeah. But I think he would just be like, I'm just looking at the table now. Obviously, looking ahead to what we've got coming forward and stuff. We're 10 points behind United, which doesn't seem that much, really, considering how highly they've been rated this year and how shit we've been. We've got a game in hand. Carl, spot on. How are United second, flattered all season? Ollie must stay. Yeah, he must stay. He must. But
go on, carry on, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, we've got I'm just looking at what we've got coming up. So we've got West Brom away on Sunday. If we win that, we go 1 point behind Chelsea with two games left. And I know me and Tim spoke about this game was a must win, but I even thought, like, if we drew this one, we might have an outside chance for the last game of the season because Chelsea lost their game against Arsenal. But we are right back amongst it now. If we can, I mean, going up against Allardyce, a relegated West Brom team, they're going to be.
Have you swallowed your mic, mate?
Why, can you hear me okay? Or?
That's better.
I just seen you going, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here. But yeah, coming up against Allardyce and a fucking relegated side, they're going to be up for it anyway, regardless, aren't they? In terms of trying to, like United West, they're trying to like just stop us trying to get into the top four because they know that next season, top four plus like Van Dijk coming back and Liverpool having like fans in the stadium, we're going to be a fucking force to be reckoned with, aren't we?
I reckon so, mate. I think, just touching on the top four stuff now, mate, and the way you look at it, the 18th of May is going to be the big one for us because it's Chelsea and Leicester, providing we carry on doing what we're doing, because I'm in such a better mood now than I was, you know, last week or 11 days ago, because I really expected us to drop points tonight. I really did. And I thought that would have been it. It'd have been gone. And I'd have been gone, right, it's gone now, it's done. Now I'm back in the mood of, this is fucking back in our hands now and we can certainly fucking do this, because that was one of our toughest games that we had left, and we've managed to overcome that. If we're ever going to win at Old Trafford, this was the time to do it, apart from 18-19 when we drew 0-0 and we could have fucking won the league. Anyway, but it's the Leicester game now with Chelsea. That's so important, and it's massive, because that could also determine what we do. But the great thing is it's in our hands. And even if we do have a little bit of a hiccup, that's a big game for us as well. But yeah, it's nice and exciting because it gives us something to look forward to the last three games of the season, doesn't it, Tim?
I'd say so. Yeah, it's we've basically got, well, four cup finals left, really, isn't it, at this point? It's you know, it's we can't afford to drop points, put it that way. And yeah, Leicester play Chelsea, and you know, at the other day, as Liverpool fans, we probably want Leicester to win that game, because you know, I think if we win this weekend, we'll be 1 point behind Chelsea with all things, you know, all things being equal. So, and I fancy our chances. I think Leicester will need one to win and need to win. And I think Chelsea have more distractions going on than Leicester do. Obviously, they play each other in a cup final. And then obviously Chelsea have City coming up as well. So it's certainly going to be interesting. It's definitely made this... end of the season interesting, and it's just been one of those seasons that's been so poor, and yet here we are, you know, with what is it, three games left to play now, and we're still on the edge of our seats thinking we could actually look back at the season and think, well, actually it wasn't that bad. it actually wasn't. We're playing in the Champions League next year, so you know, it's been a crazy season.
It has, mate. And do you know what, Mick, Tim's just said something really interesting there in terms of we could look back and be like, oh, thank fuck for that, it's done now. We, you know, we accepted we weren't going to be champions a long time ago. We accepted that, you know, we're going to go this season empty-handed. So it's really interesting, because it's like what Neil said last night, didn't he, about if you're dropping out of the Champions League, the effect it will have on Liverpool in terms of what kind of business they might do, what players might come in, what type of players might come in. You know, I did agree with Neil in terms of what he meant by that as well, but I also think that there's still players out there now, especially in this era and in the era that they've grown up in terms of how it's drilled into the top players, how important it is to play Champions League football year in, year out. I still think that could have a big bearing on what type of business Liverpool do. I know they've always done smart business, and they've never bought the top tier of player. Yeah. And this is what I mean by the likes of Mbappe and Haaland. I never thought they were coming, regardless of whether we won the league or the Champions League. We get anyway. I just don't think it happens. I could be wrong at the end of the day. Your opinion on that now? Are you on that fence? Do you see where I'm coming from? Obviously, we know where Neil comes from as well with that sort of stuff. But it's always an awkward one, isn't it? You want to always think positively, don't you? Think if we get Europa League, oh, it's not going to matter. If we get Champions League, oh, it does matter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mad one because you see a load of shit on Twitter, don't you? Going, oh, we've saved all the money for a generational talent like an Mbappe or a Haaland, and you're like, well, that would be great if it happened, but it's not really the Liverpool way, is it? Like Neil yeah. said perfectly, like, we get Fabinho from a Monaco, we get a Mo Salah from Roma, we get an Alisson from Roma, we get players that it's going to be a step up for them to come and join the club, like a Hotter from Wolves, come and take the step up and also score a shitload of goals, and we'll give you those yeah. opportunities to score those goals as well. So I don't think it's going to change that. If we do sign an Mbappe or Haaland, I'll be fucking made up, don't get me wrong, but I just feel like the scouting system we've got at the moment is built on signing some players from a lower level, not a lower level, but a lower team, maybe, that you've got a high ceiling, who can come in and kind of, I've got that hunger to kind of prove themselves. I think if you sign an Mbappe or a Haaland, you're going to get quality, obviously, but you might not get the same hunger that you'll get from like a team like, I don't know, if you get someone from the French league or something like that, who's going to be like a lower French team, who's going to come in and do a job, and you kind of think that there might be a bit more pressure on them to prove themselves rather than Mbappe or Haaland. Yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one, but if we do get, obviously, if we get Champions League, then it's all better off, really, because with FSG this season, like, the whole fucking Super League shit and whatever else, they're going to have to put their hands in the pocket, I believe, to kind of try and get some semblance of supporters back on side. So whatever way yeah. they do that, it's going to be interesting to see how they do it.
I was just going to come on to that with you, Tim. There has been obviously a massive thing this year with the Super League, and then obviously with, there's always been talk about FSG, don't put their hands in the pockets, and this, that, and the other. Regardless of whether you are, yes, they do spend money and they spend it smartly, or they don't spend money, they fucking will, won't they? They're going to have to go, and we have to do something. And I think that's really exciting, isn't it? Because, like Chris Kelly's just put in there, you know, a Rafinha from Leeds, we've seen the type of season he's had. If we pulled someone like him in, fantastic, as well as, you know, strengthening somewhere else. And I'll just add the second part of my question to you, Tim, in terms of getting that Champions League place for next season. It gives us the chance to go back into the Champions League, you know, into the knockout stages again, hopefully, with a fit squad, touch wood.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. I think that football has so been so enamoured with Messi and Ronaldo over the last 15 years that people are so obsessed with buying the next big talent that people forget that there are 11 guys on a pitch. I think that when you look at the best three teams over the past 5 years, I think it's probably fairly comfortably you can say it's been Liverpool, City and Bayern Munich in terms of none of them have a generational talent. None of them have Mbappe or Haaland or Messi or Ronaldo. And I think that what we're seeing now is teams shifting towards that method of building a squad where you have, instead of one guy surrounded by some pretty decent guys, you have a very, very, very talented squad, position through position. So I think that we're seeing football kind of transition past that Messi and Ronaldo phase. And yes, Mbappe and Haaland are great, but they're not Messi and Ronaldo. They're not going to be, they can't control and take over games the way they could. And I think that what we're seeing is now clubs and you know, organizations kind of taking the approach where they're focusing more on building a team rather than just focusing on bringing in one talent and sacrificing one or two positions based on the money they're spending for that. The second thing regarding the FSG stuff this summer, I thought Klopp said something really, really quite interesting in his presser. When was it? Friday? So Friday. When was his presser?
Yesterday, mate.
Yesterday. He was asked about Man City and winning the Champions League, and he congratulated them, and he said, "Oh, I've been texting Pep and Ilkay," and they said, "It's great because when you have the football intelligence and the financial backing, you can win." And yeah. I thought, is that that's one a shot at City, and two, that's a shot at the owners to make sure that they get to spend this summer. That's the first thing that came to my mind, that Klopp is saying, right, I need some backing this summer because we can get back to where we were at. But if you don't back me, we're going to have problems because look at what they're doing. See what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm expecting FSG to make a splash. Again, I would, as great as it would be to bring on an Mbappe and a Haaland, I'm sticking with the stance I've taken for the last couple of months. I'd rather back up the bench. I'd rather bring in another quality player in a position we need rather than splashing out 150 million, break it down into three, get three quality players in and become a squad that's to be reckoned with, where even if we do have two or three injuries during the season, we still don't see a drop off in the quality of play.
Fair play, mate. Mick, Steve Williams has just put a comment in saying they couldn't, could they? Not ready for more heartache this season. Let's do the last few minutes of this episode now on what happens now over the next three games. In terms of what that result does, that is a win at Old Trafford. That is Klopp's first win at Old Trafford. That is a massive statement there to the rest of the league. It's back in our hands now. Thank fuck. Is this a little catalyst now to like say, yeah, three fucking cup finals now, let's go?
If it's not, then I don't know what's going on, to be honest. That was like you said, Jay, that was the most difficult game we've got. We've got West Brom on Sunday, then we've got Burnley next Wednesday, and then Palace with a fucking 10k boost on the 23rd at home. So you'd like to think the Palace game's sewn up because we'll have fans back in there, but to the other two, that scare me. But tonight was the most difficult, and it's just frustrating that you can't really say what Liverpool's going to do next. Like we won tonight, we won well, but going away to those two sides, we were just going to turn up and go, yeah, fuck this, 10 behind the ball, fuck it, got nothing else to do, might as well do it because we're going to get battered otherwise. It's just whether, we obviously if we go with the four up top maybe and just throw Hotter and Firmino in the same team, which I expect we will do, then Hotter got a good goal tonight. Really underrated goal, like you said, Jay. Boss little flick from that Phillips assist. Even if we can get one of them, just a scruffy little bastard, scruffy goal, get one of them and then we'll be all right in those games. But we need to put pay to the chances. We're going to create a shitload of chances, we know that, but we just need to score them. And I think what motivation then to win tonight. Like they'll be fucking, that dressing room will be absolutely buzzing tonight. They'll be absolutely loving life after winning their first time for 7 years. It's fucking, they've been a long time in the league to win at Old Trafford. It's been too long, especially after last year when we battered everyone and we still didn't win there. We still drew, still could only get a point when we were fucking battering everyone. So tonight we did it. No one expected it. I didn't. You boys never. We expected a draw. We expected maybe a loss, to be honest, at worst. But we've did it. So we just, if we fuck it up now, it's going to be really, really disappointing, like Burnley and fucking West Brom. Like we just need to go there and just throw everything at them because they're going to go 10 men behind the ball, like I said. So we just throw everything at them. If we do it, we do it. If not, then we fucking just go, fuck it. We'll take Europa League and we'll get Harvey Elliott back and we'll just throw the kids into those games. So either or, for me, I'm just looking at it as a positive. Now, like if we get it, then sound boss, the best news ever. If we don't, then there's more games and we can give the younger fellas a game in the earlier games anyway and just kind of go from there. So yeah.
No, you're right, mate. A couple of the comments that is coming in right now. Chris Kelly's asking how long Kabak's out for. I'm not sure, mate. I'm sure we'll find out over the next few days. Could definitely do with him against Burnley. Definitely, mate. Lee's back in. Aye, mate. Aye, lads, loving the Accrue, Jake. Yeah, absolutely, mate. Everyone knows my thoughts on Accrue. And yeah, I really hope that fucking kit is real.
Can we just talk about why he's changed his name? Do you boys know why he's changed his name from Gamerborn to Moving Unit?
No, go on. Share it with us.
Because I done a little podcast with Kiefer the other day, and I called him Gamer Porn on a live stream rather than Gamer Born. So Just get that out in the open.
But also as well, important, because there's another reason why I'm going to go, because I want to see this. Cole's just said that Klopp went to high-five Mane and he shrugged it off, and Samuel's just said the exact same thing as well. So that could be quite interesting. Let's not speculate on it. Let's just go and watch it. Dan, I'm going to finish with Dan's comment, to be fair. We'll say, up the Reds, massive result from 1892. How's it going, boys? But Dan, we're going to finish with, we fucking beat them corrupt cunts. Absolutely. You can shove your fucking protest up your ass. You can shove singing sign on. It's got fuck all to do with us, your little protest. But guess what? We fucking dicked you in your own backyard. Because that's what it looked like. Regardless of the fucking tension in the record book, we dicked you again in your own fucking backyard. But yeah, and Moving News just said it will make millions of game upon. I bought the domain. Absolutely. Well done. That was us for this episode. Really great to finish on a positive. It makes it more motivation for us to do more fucking episodes as well this season when we've got something to fucking play for. So our thanks to Mick, to Tim, and thanks to everybody who's joined in the comments. It's been great numbers tonight, some really good comments. Love seeing our regulars in there again. Going to do a giveaway for our Champions magazine on the next episode, so make sure you tune into that. And we'll see you next time. Up the Reds. Fucking hell. Another fucking game, boys. Come on. Amen. Sports Social Podcast Network.